Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Last week, we spoke on the subject, we've come this far by faith. And I thought during the week several times about the message, about our living by faith. And I realize that we live in a world where there's a lot of things that we can just, you know, essentially snap our fingers and get, you know, oh, I want this. I can go out and buy it. I can do this or I can do that to get it and have my need to be met. I get hungry, I can go to the grocery store. If I don't want to go to the grocery store, I can go to a restaurant or a fast food place and get something to eat. If I get sick, I can go to the doctor. And again, I want to stress, I have nothing against doctors. I go to doctors. I think that God put them here for a purpose, and they fill a need. But sometimes we need to also put our trust and our faith in God as to what He will do in our lives. And there are, again, as I mentioned, a lot of people throughout the world that their only hope is their faith in God, their trust in God. And a lot of times, I think sometimes we become so spoiled that we get on this, God, I'll get back to you when I need you. And now I can get everything on my own. But as the words of that song, Lord, I need you. We need Him in our lives every day. We need Him in every part of our being. We need Him in everything that we do. And when we allow God to come in and be a part of our life, meet that need in our life, fill that part of our life that has a vacancy in it, then we will get along a lot better. We will do much better because we're letting God take charge of our life. We're letting God control our life. Most people let a lot of other things control their lives. You know, it's controlled by this, that, the other. And God, when I can get around to it, when I really desperately need you, I'll get back to you. But we need to put Him first in our life. Well, that was in chapter 11, a lot of what we spoke about last week as we spoke about the saints of times gone by that are mentioned in there and the deeds that were done in their behalf and God needs it and God met through their life, the deliverances that were worked in their life, things that were established because they set out to do what God spoke to their heart to do. And as I began to prepare this message, I opened my computer Bible program and it just happened to come up on the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 12, and first verse, and I'm staring at it. And here's how Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 reads. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I read that verse, and quite honestly, when I sat down to begin to prepare the message, I had maybe some different thoughts in mind as to what the message might be about today. But I'm reading this, and I read it a couple of times. And you know, sometimes, how many of you read the Bible and you've read certain verses time after time after time, and then all of a sudden one day you read it and something in that verse just seems to stand out like you've never ever read that verse before. That happens, I guess, to most of us as we read the Word of God. There are things that someday that God just points out those words to. And the thing that began to stand out was in this first verse here, cloud, the two words, cloud and witnesses. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to kind of curious here, you know, I'm going to look this up. And So on my computer program, I have, I think, probably about 30 Bible translations available. So I started going through them. Now, I didn't look up the ones that were Spanish language because I couldn't read them. So I skipped those. So I still have maybe 20-some translations available. And I'm looking. Cloud. What's a cloud of witnesses? And so I look up the word cloud. And I guess out of the 20-plus translations, I only found one that didn't use the word cloud in that verse. So, okay, I go to witnesses here. Let's see what they're talking about here about witnesses. So, again, I do the same search, and I go through, and only two times was another word used. And the particular version that used different words was the version that's called God's Word, and it read, "Since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith." Well, a cloud surrounds us. You know, we were watching the news the other morning. I got up and I looked outside, and the sun was shining brightly outside my door. And Mary had the TV on with the news on, and they go to the traffic report up in Nashville. And I'm looking, and you can hardly see the cars on the interstate because of fog. You know, and fog and clouds are kind of similar in the way they affect things sometimes. And I thought that's kind of, you know, if you're fogged in there, you couldn't hardly see. You're surrounded by it. And I don't know how many, you know, I personally don't like to drive in fog. I don't like to drive through, normally you don't get high enough elevation to drive through clouds, but, you know, can be confusing for you. And I remember as a younger person driving from Los Angeles to San Francisco on the weekends and going up in the fog and coming back at the fog. And you just had to try to follow something that could lead you where you needed to go. But here they're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. Another translation here says, "Therefore also for us, having a great cloud of those who are bearing testimony." And witnesses bring testimony of what has been done, what is being in effect. You get a witness in a trial. They get up and they're giving testimony of what happened in that event, what brought it about. I don't know if anybody here has ever been on a jury trial. I know a couple have, but you know, you're listening to that testimony, and you have to then decide the fact from the fiction. And let's face it, in a jury trial here in the courts in our land, you get a lot of fiction goes along with that testimony. And it's almost amusing sometimes as to the fiction that can go along with it. So basically, we're surrounded by those who are bearing testimony. So let me read that verse one more time. "Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that lays before us," or lies before us. We're in a thing called life right now. And it's likened in the scripture several times to being in a race. And we have a goal, especially as Christians, we have a goal that is set before us. Our goal is to reach heaven. Our goal is to get there. And we are started out and we are in the race that God has put us in. And we go through a lot of things. Anybody ever watch foot races or the track races on television or go to these events? You know, some of they have one that they have hurdles and stuff, and the guy's got to jump or they got to do this, and they got various types, and they have to go through obstacles and various things. And it's kind of like that for us as we're living our Christian life. We're running in a race here, and there are obstacles that get thrown in our path. There are sometimes some mud we got to run through. Sometimes there's some hurdles we've got to jump over. Sometimes there may be some mountains we may have to climb, and there may be some valleys that we have to go through, but we are running that race that God has put before us, and we are to do it with endurance, hanging in there. We may not be the fastest, but it's speed is not what counts. You know, most races, it's speed, the one that gets to the finish line first. God never said it's to the one that crosses the finish line first. It's the one that endures to the end. It's to the one that crosses the finish line. Some will cross the finish line sooner than others, but it's the endurance that gets us there. So where are we at in our faith? Well, God's Word, the Bible, has surrounded us with witnesses of God's power. We can read God's Word, and we have witnesses right there of the power of God and the things that God has done. We can look back in the Old Testament and we can see what God did for the saints of that time. We can read in the New Testament and see what God did for the saints in that period of time and how He led them through the obstacles and the things that they had to go through. And some went through hardships, some went through some desperate times, but they stuck with God and God led them through. And God will lead us through as well. Well, sometimes as we're running this race, we run into some obstacles maybe and things. And in this chapter, it begins to talk about, as we're running the race, that we're burdened down with weights, because it also says that we're to lay aside the weight that so burdens. And I'm trying to find that verse right here. I'm sorry, but I somehow slipped it out here. But anyway, it says we're to run with endurance, laying aside the weight that doth so easily beset us, there in verse 1, and lay aside those weights and run the race that God has put before us. Now, as we're running this race, and what are these weights? What are these things that we're to do? Well, first of all, unless you're one that accepts Jesus Christ on your deathbed and your last gasp of breath, you ask Jesus into your heart, you're going to have some troubles and obstacles and things and events that come into your life. You're going to have to fight some battles. You're going to have to fight some things. Well, you're sitting here today, so obviously you're not the one that accepted Jesus Christ with your dying breath. So where it's the matter of endurance. How are we enduring? Chapter 12, verse 2 says, then, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. That's the whole thing, keeping our eyes on Jesus. He's our source. He's our perfecter. Anybody here perfect? No, nobody raised their hand. I think I heard somebody ask that question one time, and there were a couple of people raised their hand, and I thought, okay, and I can see some of their flaws right now. We're not perfect, but we are striving for perfection in Jesus Christ. So keeping our eyes on Jesus, He is the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that laid before Him endured a cross and despise the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God's throne. Think a moment what Jesus endured for you and for me, for every last one of us. In fact, every last person that's ever lived and ever will live on the face of planet Earth. He went to the cross for everyone. And before somebody says, uh-oh, Brother Unger's getting into everybody's going to heaven, which is a teaching that's going around right now. You know, it doesn't matter how evil you were, you're going to heaven whether you want to go there or not. And that's a very terrible teaching that's been taking place in parts of the world lately. The only way you're going to get there is if you know Jesus Christ and if you accept Him into your heart as your personal Savior. That's plain and simple. It's what God's Word has to say. But Jesus went to the cross for everybody. It's a matter of whether or not individually we accept His work that was done on the cross of Calvary. It's a matter of our acceptance. You know what they talk about? I don't know how God could send people to hell. God's never sent anybody. We make that choice. We make that choice. We choose not to accept the gift of salvation that God has made available to us. There are some who, like Demas, as Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, he says, "For Demas has deserted me," and the King James says, "has forsaken me, because he loved this present world and has gone to Thessalonica." And he goes on to mention a few other things here. But he's forsaken him because he loved the things of the present world. And a lot of times, folks start out their walk, their race, as it says here. And along the line, some of the weights that begin to build up on them, begin to pack up on them. And they begin to like those weights. And the next thing you know, the weight has gotten them down. What is that weight? Well, that weight we probably would call sin. I mean, you might ask then, well, what is sin exactly? What is sin? I know that the Word of God says within the pages of the book we call the Bible that there are things, there is no doubt about it, it is point blank, black and white. You can't get any more definite about it. Sin. There are certain things. If you do this, it is sin. Simple as that. But there are other things, too, that run into our lives. Because James writes in chapter 4, verse 17, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, it is a sin." There are things that come into our life, weights that come into our life, that the Bible doesn't specifically say this is a sin. But because it weighs us down, it hinders our walk with God. It takes us out of the path that God is leading us down. It can become a sin. I want to give you an example. There's a lady in California that I knew many years ago. And ladies, you're going to like this one. To her, lipstick was a sin. And I know some of you might think, lipstick is a sin. There's nowhere in the Bible that says lipstick is a sin. Because you can search for it and you won't find it. But to her, it was a sin. And why was it a sin? Because it weighed her down. It reminded her of her former life. See, she'd been a nightclub entertainer. And she, I guess, lived maybe fairly sinful. I don't know all the details of her life. But she said just to wear lipstick, to wear makeup, as a matter of fact, weighed her down. It became a sin to her because of the reminders of the things that she had been involved in before. And she didn't want anything to do with that former life. So in her case, she had to lay aside that weight that so easily ensnared her and reminded her of those things. And as Christians today, as we walk down the path that God has led us down, we have to make sure that we lay aside these weights that will ensnare us, that will bring us down, that will cause us to falter in our walk with God. for each person, it can be some individual things. Some things that would be a snare to me would not be a snare to you, and vice versa. But we need to lay them aside. And we probably have all known people that started out on this Christian walk, walking down this path, and they got a snare or a weight. And that weight began to build down to the point that it ensnared them. And finally, they left the race. They pulled out, went down a different path. Lay aside the weights that ensnare us. Lay aside the things. Not that I tell you, because there might be some things I don't like that maybe are not a problem, really. But lay aside what the Holy Spirit tells you that is going to hinder your life. Lay aside the things that will cause you to not walk with God in the way that you should walk with God. Put them aside. Put them out of your life. Do I know what they are for you? Absolutely not. I don't know. But I have to deal with me on a daily basis and the things that I need to keep out of my life and things that I need to avoid and paths that I need not to go down. And every one of us deal with that on a daily basis, because there are obstacles that the enemy would throw in our path. For example, maybe you need some money. How many here need money? Boy, we probably, every last one of us do. Do you ever, though, you need money and you find this wallet? Open it up. Ooh. It's just got lots of money in here. No one would ever know if I kept it. Or maybe you're standing in line at the store. And this is one, an event that my daughters and I, at least one of my daughters and I, went through many years ago, standing at a checkout register at JCPenney's in California. We found a $20 bill laying on the floor in the checkout line. I could use 20 bucks. I reach down, I pick it up. I'm not going to hold this $20 up and say, anybody lose a $20 bill? Because every person in line ahead of me would have claimed it, probably. So I'm standing there, and I'm debating what to do, you know. And the lady then goes to pay, and she reaches for her wallet, and she says, my money's gone. Now, she didn't see me pick the money up off the floor. So I reached over and I handed it to her. I said, I found this on the floor, and gave her her $20, or however much it was. It would have been easy to have just put that money in my pocket and walked away and let the poor lady be 20 bucks short. After all, that blessed me $20 worth. But you know what? I could never have felt comfortable with myself about it, because I knew it wasn't my money. It wasn't mine to keep. God allows sometimes things to happen. Sometimes the enemy puts stairs in our path to try to test us and see what we're going to do. But what I'm saying here is we all run through things in our daily life that can cause us to mess up. Anybody here ever mess up? Yeah? Well, no, I'm have to pray for those that didn't raise their hands. We all mess up at one time or another, don't we?
Yes,
we do. You know? Because we're still human. When we accepted Jesus Christ into our heart, He didn't reach down and zap us with something and say, "You're now superhuman. You will never make another mistake in your life again." I have to say, it would have been sure been nice if He had done that. But that's not the way it worked and works. We still have to make choices in our life. We still have to lay aside those weights that can weigh us down, that can cause us to fall out of right standing with God. You go through the Bible, you'll find that there are people in the Bible. David's a good example, I think, of a lot of things. I like David. He started out watching the sheep, and by the end of things, he's king. But he went through some situations and messes in between. And David messed up, not just on one occasion, but on several occasions. And he didn't make just teeny little bitty mistakes either. When he made one, he made a big one. But the one thing about David, and the one thing that I want to impress upon you today, is when we do make a mistake, when we do mess up, do what David did. Go to God. Ask for forgiveness. Ask God to forgive you of that thing. "Father, I messed up. I shouldn't have done that." Your kids, and they were growing up, even when they get to be adults, do they make mistakes? Do they do things you don't like sometimes? Yeah, they probably all do. But you know what? You love them. And you overlook sometimes some of the things that they do, but you also forgive them for some of the things that they do. And I'm glad that God has blessed us with a good relationship with our children. And they don't mess up too often. Of course, they tell me it's the opposite way. I'm the one that messed up, and they didn't, but, you know. But God loves us, and He cares about us. He wants us to make the finish line. He wants us to get rid of anything that's going to hold us back from crossing that finish line. You watch a race, a track event, and you don't see these guys going out here to run whatever length of race it is with boots on, heavy jacket, weights on their wrists and ankles, pack on their back. They've laid aside everything they can possibly lay aside that might weight them down. And they're in that race to run it as fast and quickly as they can. When I was in the Army, we had to run a mile to finish basic. I can say I've run 1 mile in my life. And I finished it because I had a friend who'd already qualified, and he ran along beside me. And when we got going around this track, he held his hand on my back and pushed as he ran along beside me to help me. And then when we got down to probably the last 50 feet, he broke away and said, "Go." And I ran as hard as I could that last 50 feet, and I made it across the finish line. I'll have to say I immediately fell down to my knees and begin to lose everything I'd had for breakfast at that point. But he was there helping me. My friend was there helping me. God is there to help us. as we run that race. He's got our back. He's there with us, and he wants us to cross that finish line. He wants us to lay aside anything that will keep us from crossing that finish line. Father, today, I thank you for your word. And Father, as this word goes forth today, I just pray that it would touch hearts and lives. Father, meet the needs, we pray. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's just all take a moment to examine our own lives and think about the obstacles that we face, maybe, or things that are in our life that sometimes hinder us. And just examine our own lives today as to what God has for us, and are we doing our best for God? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.